Welcome to Abiding in Hope, a production of St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. I'm Mary Ann Jepson, clinical counselor, and my co-host is Father John Sims Baker. He is the vice rector of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephine. I'm great to have you with me here, Father.
Mary Ann, it's always great to be here. Thanks.
It is always a blessing. And so we want you to know, our listener, that this show is about you. This show is for you. What our goal is to offer you hope in the times when there are challenges in your life, and don't we all have them? We certainly do. And so Father and I are here to answer your questions. You can find a place to park your questions where we will pick them up, and that is on the website, abidinginhope.com. Those questions then get referred over to us, and we take it from there, and we bring the answers to you on the air. So, Father, would you please start us off with prayer?
Certainly. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you and glorify you. We thank you for this opportunity to share your goodness, to share the hope that comes from you, that is one of your great gifts, that allows us to face the challenges and adventures of life, the things that we struggle with from time to time, with confidence as your children. So we ask you to deepen within us that identity, that dignity as sons and daughters of God. We ask you to be with us, especially during this program today, for those who are listening, for those who have written in these questions, that you may speak and use this time as you see fit. And we ask all these prayers through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Father, I think how much of a blessing it is for us to be here to take these questions and to have the prayer that we hope that God will inspire us to give the right answers.
That's right.
We are never always perfect ourselves, right? It's all on Him. So we need those prayers to start off the show.
Absolutely.
And we really do have some great questions here that have been coming in. So thankful for those. So let's go to our first one. Are you ready?
Sitting on ready, rocking on go.
Amen to that. Okay. I guess that means that's probably Nashville.
That's another one of those southern things.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You didn't ask me the other one, but maybe we'll wait on that later.
We'll wait on that later. I'll pop the question to you when you least expect it.
Catch me off guard.
Yeah, and then you always give the wrong answer, I think.
And then you have to prompt me.
We have to do take two. Oh, this is fun. Anyway, here is our first question for the day. And this comes from Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous, for this question. What is the best way to handle a situation when an older couple, and a sister is in parentheses here, so it's the sister of the author of this question, I believe. So what is the best way to handle a situation where an older couple who are unmarried and living together, man and woman, is coming to our home for the holidays? We do not know the best way to handle, since another of their relatives who are married and older as well will be staying with us. We want them to come and keep the lines of communication and our love for them open, but what words would you suggest to tell them in a loving way that they cannot stay? Thank you for your helpful program. We always like to know that this program is helpful. God bless you and your listeners. So, Father, why don't you take that one first?
I was tempted to answer it in a sort of Miss Manners kind of way.
Okay.
And I was like, maybe the easiest way is just not to invite them to stay. But I guess we are presupposing in this question that there's some expectation that they would be maybe be staying.
And she did say, Father, that she stressed in a loving way that sort of, you're not welcome to stay.
But in any case, but this situation, but again, like I think so many of the questions that we receive, I think many of the listeners may not have exactly the same fact situation, but sort of similar sort of things. So we do want to address this. And I think this kind of situation is what my father used to always say. I think really the best plan, the best policy is always just full disclosure in an open non-defensive, confident way. This isn't really, in a sense, this is an invitation to evangelize, in a sense, to share your mm-hmm. faith, to share your beliefs, and just sort of to say in an upfront, again, non-defensive way, these are our beliefs about marriage and family and sexuality, and in our home we need to show these and manifest this. And so that would be why, if you were staying, maybe if you were willing to honor that, or and we had the room for that, but otherwise this goes against some of our really basic convictions. Mm-hmm. I really think being upfront, not trying to sort of skirt the issue or maybe, manipulate things so it doesn't come up or something like that, actually makes things worse in the long run. You emphasize the thing about it in a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think loving is always treating people straightforwardly mm-hmm. and with the truth.
Right.
And so as difficult as it might be to state the truth, you want to state the truth in a way that's, deliberately hurtful. But I think that really is, in the long run, as, my dad always said, full disclosure is the best policy.
Honesty, right? Yeah.
Let your yes be yes and your no be no.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, like you said, so many people, when the holidays roll around, and this isn't about any specific holiday, really, this could be, the 4th of July, or whenever people come together, mm-hmm. family members are gathered together. And while this couple, she says they are an older couple, I think one of the things to keep in mind is, they're making their own choices. Those choices are not your choices. And they may not be the choices of anybody else that's in that house over Thanksgiving or Christmas or Easter or the 4th of July, any of the holidays of the year. They might not be the same choices. And the thing that concerns me about this question, too, is I imagine as families get together, there are older people and there are younger people. There are 4- and 5-year-olds. There are teens. There are those in their 20s. There are all generations. So what this couple does, the hosts of the situation are probably looking at this as they have multi-generations here and that will be impacted by their decision to either allow this couple to stay or not. And what does that say to the teens, or what does that say to those in their 20s? It says that that this is okay, that we go along with this. So therefore, down the road, when a teen decides to bring, wants to go on vacation or whatever, or when someone in their 20s wants to bring their loved one home and say, well, we're living together and you allowed Uncle Joe and Aunt Susan to sleep together, so that's what we want to do. I mean, the rules are the rules, and the truth is the truth, and honesty applies in all situations. And so I think that that's something that you can use as well, Anonymous, is to say, our faith is important to us, and we want to be the best examples for our children and grandchildren and whoever else might be there. And because of that, we cannot say that this is okay for you to stay. We love you, and we are happy to have you with us, but we don't want that example shown for our children or grandchildren.
Right. And I think, a lot of this has to do with about how we live this as well. I think St. Teresa of Avila, I think, has this quotation, something like, God save us from sour-faced saints.
Oh, yes.
One of the things is that we have to reach out, the early Christians in particular. What converted the world was their witness mm-hmm. Of their faith. Among one of the things that was really distinctive of that Christian witness in the world of the early Christians was the value of sexual purity, mm-hmm. Of the value of marriage, the sanctity of these things, mm-hmm. the dignity of the human person in all those areas. It was very, very countercultural in that world, very much as it's becoming more and more so in our world as well. Mm-hmm. But so we have to make sure, though, that we're living those convictions, frankly, in a joyful way, in a right. way that really shows the joy of the gospel, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. as Pope Francis speaks of, and is, you know, that is very important. So again, I think this is not in a, so again, as I said before, sort of a non-judgmental, non-defensive sort of thing, but as an opportunity saying, this is our belief. This is our conviction, mm-hmm. About, you know, about marriage and about everything about our faith, and it's sacred to us.
Sure.
And again, and so that witness, that's why that witness is so important. Mm-hmm. If you can, you know, don't be a sour-faced saint.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that the truth? And I think of two other things with this question, though they're not really written in here and not part of the question, but I can kind of see how this might happen, is that the older couple who's living together might not be real happy with what you have to say to them. They may huff off and say, we're not coming. They may do all sorts of things in anger or whatever. If they have angry words back to you, that's their problem. That's not yours. You don't have to own that, and you don't have to feel badly about standing up for the truth. That is a choice that they made, and you can walk away and know that you did the right thing. The other thing that I see here is this is becoming more of an issue in today's society, where older couple, people who have raised their own children and maybe now are grandparents, are deciding to cohabitate rather than get married. I mean, there may be many reasons why they do that. They may, usually financial kind of issues are ones that rise to the surface a lot. What happens to, you know, your Social Security or your, all of these things, if you decide to get married? But the thing that always concerns me in those situations is, how does that influence your grandchildren? What example are you giving to them? Your children, if you're a grandparent, your children may not approve of that. And I hear that so many times in counseling, is where my parents are doing this and I don't want my children around them. And it's a big fight because I don't want them. I don't agree with what they're doing. And so while you may have reasons that you feel are valid to do that, look to your faith, and this isn't a selfish thing. You have to look to those others that are in your life and not just live for yourself.
Right. And one other thing I would say, Marianne, if it does come to a point of conflict, as you pointed out in your previous point, and if there is, you know, someone walks away, again, don't close the door.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Keep reaching out as much as you can. As Christians, we always have to do that. We never, as I've quoted before this from a priest I've heard give talks, that we can't ever amputate relationships.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And so as painful as it may be, keep the door open. Mm-hmm. Keep extending the hand. That's what we have to do, again, as Christians. And again, sometimes it might be the third or fourth or fifth or sixth time that is the time that that breaks through.
That breaks through. So you have to keep, you know, after the holiday is passed, you may then be able to reach out again and say, I just want to take this back up again with you. I'm sorry that things turned out the way they did, but these are the reasons, and you know that we love you.
Yeah. Or just issue, you know, another invitation to something that would be non-confrontational.
Where there's not an overnight stay
or
involved,
just
something like that.
Or a card saying, thinking about you, praying for you.
Yes. Very good. Very good. Do you think we've covered that topic?
I think so, but I think it's one, you know, that in people run into it different ways. So
yes, that's exactly right. And if you have more about that, you're welcome to go to Abiding in Hope and park another question there, because we'd be happy to take that back up. And so if you're just joining us, you're listening to Abiding in Hope. We're a production of St. Gabriel Radio. My name is Mary Ann Jepson, a clinical counselor here in Columbus. And my co-host is Father John Sims Baker, who is the vice rector of the College of Liberal Arts at the Pontifical College Josephinum. We are here for you, and we are happy to take your questions at AbidingInHope.com. So, Father, now we have another one. Let's see. Our next question is this. Thank you for hosting this show. It has been very helpful in seeing the hopeful side of things lately. I have a question for you. I've been having a conflict with my coworker and have tried to be as kind and respectful as I can be. However, this coworker continues to respond in a harsh manner with personal attacks. I'm trying to avoid being a doormat and not standing up for myself, but I also do not want to continue to respond to her scathing communications because I feel like nothing is getting through to her and the issues are just being dragged on. However, I was wondering if you could give some guidance on how to give fraternal correction to someone who is seemingly obstinate and how to know when to walk away. And that comes from Catherine, and we thank you so much for that question, Catherine. Father.
Well, Mary Ann, I really think this is something that goes more up your expertise. Oh. I might have a few things to add, but I'm sure in your counseling practice, this sort of situation comes up a good bit. So I'd like to hear your advice first off.
Okay. Well, thanks. That's you're switching it up on me.
That's
so
right. Got to stay on your toes.
Well, that's
gotta
right. I do. Toes. There's no slacking off here with you. I've come to know. So I'm sure probably the seminarians know that too, right? So one of the things that we do see here is there's some sort of an issue where this other person is, there's personal attacks and scathing communications, and we don't, in a harsh manner of communication. The thing that, when these things happen, the receiver of that communication always feels attacked, and the emotions tend to just well up within. Emotions of anger, frustration, sometimes maybe even you're starting to hate yourself because you feel hateful over it. Those are normal emotions, but you don't have to succumb to them. If you take a moment and you stop and you realize, okay, this is what I'm feeling, and I don't want to ruin my day with this. I don't want to absorb the hate. I don't want to be hateful in return. And you stop right when you start to feel those things. And you say, you might say a prayer. It's a very good time to say a prayer to readjust what's going on inside your head. You're turning it to God then and asking for His help. There's nothing better to do at that moment in time. The next thing is that you don't want to react to this situation. You want to respond. And so the response comes through taking a break and sitting back and looking at the facts. Is there any truth maybe in what this woman might be saying about you? Or is there something where maybe you've gotten her angry? Whatever that is, if it's a moment for forgiveness, if it's a moment for apologizing, if yeah. It's a moment for saying, can we talk in a direct sort of way? And if you've done all of those things and she continues to, I'm assuming it's a she, I maybe shouldn't, but sometimes women treat each other that way. So I don't know.
I'm
that
glad
that's
you
the
said
case.
That. Not
I,
me.
I can say that. That's right, Father. It wouldn't have been good coming from you. Women know women. So the thing of it is you do not have to absorb this and make it your own if you've done all of the proper things first, like trying to reach out to her, trying to find out what's going on with her. Maybe she's, who knows, yeah. Having just some real problems in her own life, and I would assume that that is going on. And if there's a way where you could reach out to her, if you've done all of those things and that doesn't work, you don't want to enable the bad behavior. That's not helping her in her life. and it's not helping anyone else get work done. And so to put boundaries around that situation of what you may have to just back off and pray for her silently, you know, pray again. I said her, the pronoun, but we don't know. It might be a man. Pray for them as best you can while not engaging it. Sometimes the best thing to do is not engage that kind of behavior. And it may bring on further attacks, but if you can imagine yourself in a bubble of sorts when these things come at you, there are things that you can allow in and there are things you can't allow in, either for yourself or for the other person. And depending upon what she's saying and all, the bubble is impenetrable. If you can just use that imagery, you don't have to allow that in. There are some great books on boundaries that are out on Amazon or at your bookstores. There's a good one, which is written by Christian authors. It's by Henry Cloud and John Townsend. It really does use scripture, and it takes the boundary issue from a very Christian approach, which is good. We want to do that if we have boundaries. We want to do that. And so I would recommend their book, but there are others out there that would help you. We don't want to enable bad behavior. We want to help the people. Father, what do you have to say?
One of the things I would say is, again, you know, to take that sort of scriptural approach, if it's possible. It sounds like this is a rather extreme case. But, you know, as the Lord himself says, you know, to talk to this person about this. Maybe take another person or two to do that, not to you know, gang up on them, but to perhaps making the situation a little more neutral, and to try to bring the good, you know, out of that. As you said, I think one of the things that's hard about this is that with attacks, we tend to take those things personally. But it's to maybe remind yourself, this is probably really not about me or not very much about me. Mm-hmm. It's really probably very much about something going on with your coworker. And so sometimes it just helps us on the inside, if nothing else, to be able to switch that focus to the other person from the hurt that we might be feeling to thinking about the hurt that that person must be feeling to be acting this way. Now, again, it doesn't necessarily change the behavior, but it might help you to understand and maybe even to have maybe a bit of compassion, even in the midst of, you know, a very, very hurtful situation. It's then spiritually beneficial for you in any case. And also, as I said before, don't amputate.
Yes.
There's going to be a real desire, if possible, probably to just back off, you know, whatever. And I absolutely agree with everything you said about having good, healthy boundaries. And sometimes you have to set those and maybe be pretty firm about them. But we can never completely
amputate the relationship.
So, and I think, again, your recommendation right at the very beginning of prayer, continued prayer, you know, to introduce God into the situation. If nothing else, that will help you.
Yeah, of course.
And hopefully it will help the whole situation and the coworker, because there's something very wrong here.
Yeah, you've heard the saying, hurt people hurt people. This is a hurt person who's hurting you. And so it is important to look at it in that way. And if there is a way that we always know you can pray for that person, there's the sacrament of reconciliation for you that helps your hurt. And you may have to go there over and over and over and over confessing the same sin. That's okay. Your healing is in that moment. Your healing is in that sacrament. And so don't shy away from that, because that's going to help you also to deal with your own emotions, to give you the grace to handle that individual at work.
Yeah, but these are very, again, very common situation. And, you know, I think probably many listeners, maybe I have just exactly the same situation, but if you know how to deal with that people we find difficult for some reason. And, and there, sometimes it can be a great opportunity to grow in, you know, really almost heroic virtue. I was remembering a story one of the saints, and I can't remember which one, actually. It might be Saint Therese or it might be Saint Bernadette, but one of the sisters really understood and sort of mistreated her in a way. And the saint went out of her way to befriend this sister so that mm-hmm. even though the sister the saint found it very difficult to deal with the person, that sister ultimately thought that she was one of her best friends.
Oh, isn't that beautiful? Wow.
Because of the concern that mm-hmm. she showed.
Isn't that beautiful? And that is a good place to leave the show. Father, we have come to the end of our time for today. Would you send us off with a blessing?
Let us just offer all this to our Blessed Mother, and I'll give a blessing as well as we say, Hail Mary, full of grace.
The Lord is with thee.
Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. Until next time, may God be with you and give you all the graces you need, especially hope. Yeah.